Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
What's up, everybody? Thunder and Lightning post-game live here from the Davis Wade Stadium press box. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for tuning in here. Thanks for joining me here. I know it's going to be a difficult one. Let's just all get through it together. We are brought to you by Paul Davis Restoration and Stones Jewelers. When disaster strikes, you need a name you can trust. Paul Davis Restoration is here to help you recover from water, fire, mold, and storm damage 24/7. Their expert team provides fast professional service to restore your home or business to its original condition. They don't stop at just restoration. They offer property improvement services to make your space better than ever. Paul Davis Restoration, because your recovery and property improvement are their priorities. Call them at 662-769-7285. Let them bring your property back to life. If you're in the Golden Triangle or if you're in Tupelo, call Paul Davis Restoration. All right. Mississippi State falls to Tennessee 41-34 in overtime is the final score. For the unbiased observer, of which I'm sure there are very few here in this chat, just an unbelievable college football game and just a great, great contest between two good teams. But in the end, Mississippi State just didn't have enough firepower, just didn't have enough horses, and end up losing the game by that final score, as I mentioned, 41-34. What can you say about this game that I thought State was in a good position there? They made a couple of big plays here and there. I don't know that I have ever seen a swing of momentum the way I saw earlier in this game, where State fakes a punt and gets a first down. You're like, oh, wow, they had the lead. And you're like, all right, you know, that's a huge play. You know, great, courageous play call by Jeff Lebby. And then immediately Blake Shapen gets sacked, fumbles, and the strip sack, and it's a touchdown for Tennessee. Just a really tough game. And it goes back to something I talked about on all week, basically. I said that for Mississippi State to win, Blake Shapen was going to have to outplay Joey Aguilar, and that just didn't happen today. Shapen, 18 of 29, 180 yards passing, one touchdown, one interception that was returned for a touchdown. He also had a fumble that was returned for a touchdown. State with gives up five sacks in this game. And it mars, you know, a really good effort. You know, State with 198 yards rushing, that's 230 when you sack adjust that. Fluff Bothwell, what a stud he is. 23 carries for 134 yards. State couldn't get much going in the passing game for sure, but they had plenty of opportunities. And at the end, it's just a game where for Mississippi State, for me anyway, how I look at it is, they're just not there yet. You know, Tennessee is here and Mississippi State's just here right now. And can they get there at some point? Yeah, they can. And are they closer to that than they were a season ago? Absolutely they are. But today Tennessee was the better football team when they came in, and they leave with the victory. So, you know, I hate, especially in the moments after a loss like this, to try to find some positives. I understand that nobody wants to hear that, but you can't walk away from this game today and say that you don't think this is a much better football team that's going to end up, you know, in a bowl game when it's all said and done. They've got winnable games coming down the schedule. This was a winnable game. They just made too many mistakes, and at the end of the day, that's really what cost them. Two turnovers that were directly converted into touchdowns. Five sacks, some costly penalties that set Tennessee up with some easier situations. Six penalties for 71 yards for Mississippi State. Just too many mistakes, and that's kind of been the story of the season for the Bulldogs. You know, they've been able to overcome those mistakes to this point, but today, with playing a team of the caliber of Tennessee, you're not going to be able to do that. Any word on Brennan? Guys, I'll just go ahead and tell you, like, up here in the press box, we have no injury updates whatsoever. So if he's hurt, this is the first I'm hearing about it. And I know he didn't play much in the second half. But, no, I have no idea what the situation is there. And hopefully you'll find out, you know, when they do the press conference, which should be starting up pretty soon. John Agostinelli. Hey, cuz. John, two defensive scores and Chapin not manning up. I mean, it really is as simple as that, that the two defensive scores killed you. And as you mentioned, Chapin just didn't play his best game. And what did we say all week on Thunder and Lightning? He had to play his best game. You know, you look at Aguilar's stat line, and he threw two costly interceptions as well, and State converted on both of those turnovers. But 335 passing yards. He also had a rushing touchdown on the day. It's just a really tough, tough loss for Mississippi State. It's a game you're going to feel you had in hand. It's going to feel a game you feel like you let get away. And that's the story. Rob Chittum, how many defensive lines like Tennessee's will we face the rest of the year? Texas, for sure. Georgia is very good defensive line. Florida, very good defensive line. That's probably about it. So, you know, if you just lose, you know, we'll see how it goes. The missed field goals. Now, what happened on the field goal? Somebody see if you can put it in the chat, because they blew the cannon, and I thought the guy had his arms up, but he actually had them like this, and I think that's what threw Dave Neal off on the broadcast. High snap. Okay, well, that's too bad then. I do agree with Braden Parker here. Like, I'm just feeding Fluff Bothwell on that final possession there. You know, you get first and goal at the five. You got a guy averaging 6 yards a carry. I'm going to give him the ball and just see what happens, you know. And they try to put the ball into Chapin's hands, tried a couple of plays to get him outside of the pocket, try to roll him out. It just didn't work. And, you know, what I would say from that is that if you want to run your quarterback there, maybe that's where Kamario Taylor needs at least a touch there on third down. You want to roll him out, let him try to get into the end zone. I don't know. It's one of those things you can just second guess so much that went wrong in this game at the end. You know, it went from the time where State has the lead and then they can't hold on to it and just kind of goes from there. And it's a tough loss. Play calling was bad. Yeah, I didn't like the play calling when State. So Tennessee kicks a field goal to tie the game, and at 34, I'm sorry, they score to make it, you know, tie the game at 34, and State gets the ball back, and you've got some time there, and you're just like, okay, if they could just, you know, run a few plays here, and they threw three passes, and it just didn't work. It just didn't work. I thought what's funny is I thought Lebby called a really good game for most of the game. The fake punt obviously worked, and that was a ballsy call, and that did well. They had a couple other plays here and there that I liked the execution. They were going to the well with the running game, and it was there for them. There was a lot to be excited about, but in the end there, it just didn't pan out for Mississippi State. And so the Bulldogs, like I said, moved to 4-1 on the season. No moral victories, says Mike Jaskowski. But considering the key injuries, a hell of an effort. We're just not quite there yet, but last year we don't even come close. It's a process step by step. That is, I had somebody in my Twitter mention sometime, like, State's defense just isn't any good. Thank you, man. The scout from the New Orleans Saints was here, and I was like, I'm going to complain to you this whole game. He ended up staying on the field. So I don't think he wanted to hear from me. But I had somebody in my mentions talking about, you know, this defense isn't any good. And I'm just thinking, if you expected the defense to go from the worst in the conference by a country mile to good in one offseason, that's a you problem. They're a lot better, but they still have some work to do. Jimothy Lewis looked really rough tonight, says Jace Caldwell. Even on the non-sacks, he just isn't a great SEC tackle. He's got a lot of work to do. I think he's got the tools, but he's got a lot to figure out for sure. I wanted to have so much hope and worry Tennessee will beat them next week. So you think Marcus Gray thinking that this might be one of those games where you lose twice. Texas A&M was not very good today. An interesting game out there in College Station. State can go to College Station and get the win. If they play the way they played today, I think they can beat Texas A&M. Defense only gave up 27 points. I mean, that's the truth. 14 of the points belong to the offense there. So I agree. You can't put this game on the defense. And I really can't put it on the offense. They scored 34 points. They ran the ball effectively. Yeah, like I said, Chapin wasn't great, but at the end of the day, 34 points probably should have been enough to win. It's just one of those games that you don't win because at the end of the day, the other team is just better than you. And sometimes that happens. And I feel like that gets lost sometimes. I feel like people want to find a reason that you – sometimes you just play a better team and they beat you. And so that happens from time to time. I'm not going to get that worked up. I think, you know, if I – I think an unbiased observer would walk away from this game saying this is a much improved Mississippi State team. They can certainly beat Arkansas. They could beat a team like Texas A&M. They can beat a team like Florida. They could, you know, win a few more games. They're going to be a bowl team at the end. Rob Hathaway, sometimes you just get beat. Sometimes you just get beat. And not because of this, that, or the other. Sometimes you're just playing a better opponent, and they beat you. And, you know, if Tennessee had lost this game today, they would be looking around like, what happened? Where did it go wrong? Mississippi State losing this game, you just say, well, they played a better team and they lost. And then that's just the way that it goes. I thought, by and large, for this game, I thought that State, they did the things they had to do, especially in the beginning, to keep the crowd into it. Big plays early. They got some breaks to go their way, but they also had some breaks go against them. And that's kind of all balanced out. I felt like both teams had some big plays go their way. Both teams had some big plays go the other way. And in doing so, look who it is. Not going down?
I don't have time.
All right. In doing so, it balanced itself out. You know, the penalties, it felt like State's penalties were a little bit more impactful. You know, you get a false start on Tennessee, but Mississippi State would have a personal foul or something. It just is what it is. And for Mississippi State, somebody, as we mentioned just a second ago, you can't let this game beat you twice. You got to shake this one off. And that's one thing I will say, that, and I've talked about it a lot on the podcast and on the radio, is that I feel like Lebby does an outstanding job of getting this team to compartmentalize and move forward with each week. And they go to next week, and they're just – I don't think this game will beat them twice. They haven't played under Lebby that way. They've always been consistent and ready to move on to the next week, win or lose in this one. So it's a tough day. You know, it's a game that obviously wanted to win. It's a game that would have been a massive step forward for the program. You know, this would have been more than just a win for the 2025 season and for this team. This would have been a kind of a statement that Mississippi State is back. You could have had that moment, but you don't get it today. And there it is. Coy Van, we have some good young talents on defense. I want to talk about Tyler Lockhart for a minute. Played a lot in this game, was all over the field. He will be a key contributor. You know, me and Robbie talked about him a lot this offseason. We said that's a guy who has the physical tools to be a day one contributor as a true freshman. You're starting to see some of that. Jonathan Nelson, this game was just the tale of the difference in quarterbacks. Tennessee had the better quarterback. Well, we said it all week long. We said Chapin has to be better than Aguilar. And he wasn't. He just wasn't. Andrew Madden, we need a couple million-dollar pass rushers. I'm sure Charlie Winfield will take your phone call, Andrew, if you want to give him a call. Or is that Zach Selman? They will be more than happy to take that money. But, yes, State, and I thought they did a pretty good job pressuring him. I thought that they got to him, what? That State had, three sacks in the game? Two sacks. I thought they had three. But, yeah, they just lack a Montez Sweat kind of player, a Tyrus Wheat kind of player that can just consistently get to the quarterback. Will Woodson would have been a difference maker. You can make a case for that another big player on the defensive line for sure could have helped Mississippi State quite a bit. I see the improvement in this team, and that's a good sign going forward, says Blanchard 63. They are better. You know, if State had come out today and, you know, Tennessee just pushed them around, final score is like 37-17 or something like that, you would have looked at it and gone, well, maybe they're not as good as we thought they were. This team is exactly as good as I think they are. I think they are more than capable of getting to a bowl game. I think they are more than capable of postseason play, and they're more than capable of pulling off one of these upsets. Right now, when you look at the way they played today, if they can play just a little bit better, they can beat a Texas. They can beat a Missouri on the road. They can beat Texas A&M next week. They can win the Egg Bowl even. So they just have to clean it up just enough. You know, they just made too many mistakes. Injuries in the secondary. Yeah, the secondary is very banged up right this second. And they're just kind of holding it together. You know, State needs to get through this next week, and then they have an off week, and that's going to come at a really good time for the Bulldogs. All right, let's do our Stones Jewelers Diamond of the Game. Since 1976, Stones Jewelers has been the trusted name for exquisite, one-of-a-kind pieces. Whether it's a stunning engagement ring, a timeless watch, or a custom-designed necklace, their expert jewelers will help you find something as unique as the person you're celebrating. Stop by and see their beautiful collection at 709 West Main Street. That's Stones Jewelers, downtown Tupelo. You'll find the perfect piece to make any moment special. When you think of jewelry, think of Stones. Fluff Bothwell, got to be our diamond of the game. 23 carries, 134 yards, and 2 touchdowns. A really good day running the ball for Mississippi State. I feel bad for Devon Booth, 17 carries for 58 yards. He had a 62-yard touchdown run, just erased by a penalty. But I thought he ran the ball pretty well. State ran the ball well in this game. Again, when you take the sack-adjusted yardage, 230 yards rushing, almost 4.5 yards per carry. I thought they were really good. But Fluff Bothwell, this is back-to-back 100-yard games for him. He's going to continue to – I think he is sort of coming into that role now as the bell cow. And I think, you know, it's going to be more about Bothwell Booth complimenting Bothwell than the other way around. He's really good, really good football player, and we'll see. All right, let's have this discussion. Is it time to start Taylor? No, it isn't. Again, he played a really good defense tonight, and he made some plays. He missed some plays, but no. I'll just go ahead and tell you, if you do think that he should start, you're going to be disappointed because short of injury, Jeff Lebby is not going to make a change at the starting quarterback. It's just not. So what I would say is, and Chase Caldwell, it's time to start Luke. I would like to see more of Kamario Taylor and some more short yardage situations. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to just be third and fourth. It can be second and short on the goal line down there. I would not mind seeing him as well. So you got a weapon there. I'll pass along a story to you guys. We were sitting next to some scouts here. We had one from the Saints and one from the Green Bay Packers. And the Packers scout told me that after Kamario had that run in the first half where he juked the guy and got the first down, his eyes got a little big. And I was like, that's a guy you might want to keep an eye on for the future. And he said, I was down on the field and watching Chapin, and I saw him and I looked at somebody and I said, who the F is that guy? And it was just, I was like, yeah, that's a guy to keep your eye on for the future. Yeah, the State's got to find a little bit more from him find just a little bit more for him to do in the course of the offense. So if they can do that, they have a weapon there. They need to find just a few more ways to use it. So let's look around the SEC real quick. Quick scoreboard update. If you took the Brian Haydad Executive Lock of the Week, you made big money today because there may never be easier money than Arkansas or Notre Dame -4.5. They beat the Razorbacks 56-13. I think that is the most points Notre Dame has ever scored on an SEC team. Vanderbilt with a 55-35 win over Utah State. Doors don't cover. Ole Miss gets a win over LSU. LSU is not that great. Defensively, they're elite. LSU offensively is not good. And I don't understand how they're so bad when they bring back the quarterback and some of the players that they have, but they are just not a good offensive football team by any stretch of the imagination. Close one in College Station. Final score, Texas A&M 16, Auburn 10. That means Michael Borky's Executive Lock of the Week did not cover. So I'm just saying that if you want to go with a winner right now, that's going to be me. So I'm sure it'll get away from me as the season goes along. Early scores in the other games: Missouri, it says 14-6 over UMass. Bama with a 7-0 lead over Georgia in the second quarter, and Kentucky leading South Carolina. That's a surprising one. At the end of the first quarter, 10-7 Wildcats is that score. Let's see what we got here. 14. Oh, it's Bama 14-0. You don't say. Wow. Kirby Smart just can't beat Alabama unless it's in the postseason. I don't know what's going on there. So who gets fired before we play them, Pittman or Napier? So let's look at it like this. This is Florida's bye week right now, and they haven't made a move. So chances are we'll see Napier. Pittman, on the other hand, is off this week. So that you could see that this week. But if not, you might get them both. So we'll see. People keep asking injury questions. Guys, I have no idea. I don't know. If you're watching the game at home, you have a much better chance of finding out injury information than I do up here in the press box. I just don't have it. Does State enter the top 25? Now, that's an interesting question because you can make a case. They're 4-1. Arizona State's probably going to get back into the top 25. They're 4-1. They could end up being ranked off of a loss. I don't think they will, but they could. There's a possibility. When you look at, you know, there's going to be some flux here and there, obviously, but you know, TCU is going to drop out. Somebody else that was ranked lost today. I forget who it was, but USC lost today. So there's a possibility. Yeah. I don't think that they will, but we'll see. Yeah. Bill Reno, that might be the most Mississippi State thing ever to lose and get ranked. It would be. We shall see. Virginia saw that you gave them the coffee grounds a few weeks back, and they said, we want that and more. I guess that was Virginia Tech, wasn't it? I didn't give Virginia that. It was Virginia Tech. Oh, well. All right. Let's go ahead and wrap things up here on a Saturday evening. Thunder and Lightning, we'll record tomorrow, and we'll have that podcast up for you sometime Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening. And until then, appreciate you guys, as always. For joining me here. I know this has not been the most pleasant one. I was hopeful, guys. I was hopeful we would have an Arizona State repeat, but it just was not meant to be. Chris Jones is in the chat. The Chris Jones? I doubt it. I would hope Chris Jones has better things to do on a Saturday night, the Chris Jones, than to be in here with me talking Mississippi State sports. But we'll see how it goes. Talk to you guys later. This has been Thunder and Lightning Live postgame, brought to you by Paul Davis Restoration and Stones Jewelers.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.